just get your curiosity up. A little different tonight. You know, there's a lot of short prayers we can say, right? So tonight, to begin with, I want you to find a person or two or three people, whatever, or one or two, whatever, okay? And I want you to say a single word prayer over them before we start. And that single word prayer is shalom. So if you will, turn to someone and say shalom.
Shalom.
Great, great. That is bringing the peace of God into you, your family, your house, your home, who you are. And there's no better prayer than that. There's really no better prayer than that. Let's start with my, I want to pray. I've got to pray tonight. This teaching tonight is, I'm going to speak some words, but the teaching has to be, it's always done by the Holy Spirit, but tonight I am all truly, totally dependent upon Him teaching, reaching into you, and explaining to you what God has for you in the words tonight. Okay? Okay, it really is. It really is. So, Father, I thank you that you are so wonderful and great, and we have been in a time of worship, and we're still in that time of worship, Father, because of who you are. And, Father, tonight, the words I speak are not going to be sufficient. Only you, with your Holy Spirit dwelling within each of us, taking those words and helping us to understand what it is that you want us to know from you in those words. And I give you the praise for it, and I glorify you, and I thank you for doing it. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
So, tonight, this is the last one, I believe, on prayer we're having. That doesn't mean that prayer is ending, okay? It means that this is the last little teaching series that we're having on prayer. But I had trouble coming up with a name tonight. I really did. So the name I came up with, and I had about five or six different names. But the one I stuck with was Love Maintains Prayer. Okay? It maintains prayer. And the reason for that is because of the scripture verses that I'm going to share with you tonight. The real long title for this, and I keep short titles because it's easier for everybody, the real long title for this is Pray for Those Who Consider You Their Enemy. Okay? See, hear what I said there? Pray for those who consider you their enemy. Okay, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But the scripture verses, the focal verses, is out of Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read out of the message. It's verses 43 through 48. This is Jesus speaking, okay, talking to us. And the title of this in most scriptures is Love Your Enemies, okay? And that's the reason I said pray for those who consider you their enemy, okay? You're familiar with the old written law, love your friend. And his unwritten companion, hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. Jesus did a lot of challenging to what had been taught. He really did. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer. That is a focal point here on this, okay? For then you are working out of your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives His best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless the good and bad, the nice and nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, you do not... Do you expect a bonus? If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. Run-of-the-mill, that's an old Southern term, isn't it? Okay. In a word, What I'm saying, Jesus says, what I'm saying is, grow up. Ooh, he got right to the point. Right to the point with us. Your kingdom subjects. God's kingdom subject, okay? Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously towards others the way God lives toward you. Okay? Now, I know this seems like strange verses, scripture, to be talking about in prayer. But the key here that caught me on this is the energies of prayer. Before I get into that, though, I want to talk about something else for a minute. And that is enemy. Who is our, as a Christian, who is our enemy? Okay? Yeah, it is. 1 Corinthians 15:26 says this. He won't let up until the last enemy is down. And the very last enemy is death. Okay? We know Jesus conquered death. Okay, so even though we may die, there's no need for us to fear death. He's an enemy of us. Okay? And then Satan or the devil, in Ephesians 6:11-12. Okay? And put them to use. This is talking about the armor of God, okay? So you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. He's an enemy. He's throwing everything at us. This is for keeps. It's a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Or in James 4:7. So let God work his will on you. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Okay. So this is our enemy. As a Christian, Satan, the devil, death, those are our enemy. Okay? In other words, the enemy of good and righteousness. Satan is just the opposite of good and righteousness, right? He is against God. I mean, what was his whole purpose? He wanted to be equal or greater than God. So he's against God. He's rebellion. Okay? And he lost. Okay? And he also lost against us because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And 3 days later, rose from the grave. Okay? In the Old Testament, the enemies were people or nations of the Hebrew people. Okay? Okay? And thus, they were regarded as God's enemy. So the nation of Israel, the Hebrew people, regarded these other nations as God's enemy, and there's their enemy, okay? National condition, okay? But in the New Testament, it's different for us as Christians. Again, back to Ephesians 6:12. Our enemy is a spiritual enemy, okay? It's not a... As it says here, it's not flesh and blood. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. We're not struggling against people. That, as a Christian, we're not struggling against people, okay? But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So what I want us to first understand is that our enemy... it's not another person. Amen. Our enemy is not, as a Christian, our enemy is not another person. Our enemy is Satan, okay? Now, what that means is that we should not see or have anyone in this physical world, if you will, another person as an enemy. We should not. They are not our enemy. A Christian has only one enemy, and that's the Satan, the devil, who is also an enemy of goodness and righteousness. Okay, so let's keep that in mind. Let's keep that in mind, okay? Now, here's where the enemy comes into play in our life as a Christian, I think. Okay, and this is what I got out of the scripture here, okay? Now, the Matthew scripture. Now, a Christian may be seen or considered by an unsaved person a lost person as his or her enemy. We see that happened a lot. That is happening much more openly today than it has ever been done in the past. People consider us haters because of our one view structure of salvation, of God, of relationships, of how the world is, okay? And the reason, hey, we have to remember, the reason the unsaved person, the lost person, sees us as an enemy to them, okay, is because they have not yet, or they do not yet have the love relationship with God through Jesus Christ. They do not have that. So they can't understand how we are living our lives and why, how we understand things and how we see them. They see us as this threat. And, you know, it's a known fact. The cross is a very confrontal subject. The blood is very confrontal. It's very, people just don't understand it, okay? So keeping that in mind, our enemy is Satan, the devil. But we may, as Christians, someone else who's not saved may see us as their enemy. Okay? And thus, their actions or reactions or whatever to us will reflect that. So, now if we go back to Matthew chapter 5, the verses. We see here Jesus giving us instructions on how to treat the ones who see us as an enemy. Okay? He gives us instructions here of this. Jesus said, in one of the pieces here, he says, respond with the energies of prayer. Now, have you ever thought about energies of prayer? What does that mean? I mean, does that mean that you're shouting and running and praying and yelling and beating yourself up or beating the wall up or kicking the cats or while you're, I mean, what is it? I mean, energy means something's happening, right? I mean, there's some force at work here. There's something doing. You're doing something, okay? So it's not just a non-active type of prayer. This is a prayer of energy, okay? The energies of prayer. So let's say that means that there's actions of our prayer. Uh-huh. Actions of our prayer. Okay. Again, remember the person who's our enemy is Satan and the devil, but somebody else might see us an enemy to them. Okay. So we're going to pray for them with energies of prayer. That means we have actions in our prayer. And Jesus goes on here and he gives us actions that go with that prayer, the energies of our prayer. Okay. One of them he says, working out your true selves, your God-created selves. Working that out, that's the energy of prayer. Working out, that's the action of prayer. Prayer changes things. But most importantly, now remember, you got this person over here sees you as an enemy. How are you going to respond to them? One of the most important things about prayer is that it changes you, changes me. It changes me. It does. So if you're working out your true selves, that means prayer, as I'm praying for this person who sees me as an enemy, I may get changed. Uh-huh. Uh-oh. Whoops. Nope. I don't want that. It's easier for me to think about this person in negative terms than it is for me to think of them in a positive, loving term. It really is. But it changes me, okay? It also allows God to use me. Whoops. I don't want to go over here and talk to this boss that's been on my back all week and has really got something against me. Or this neighbor over here that's got a dog that sends after me every time I walk by his house. Okay? Or has a cat that likes to climb all over my car. And he thinks it's funny, or she thinks it's funny. But prayer, this is the energy of prayer. It changes me. It allows God to use me. When I'm changed, I'm opened up, then God can use me, okay? And guess what? If God is using me, guess who that person who thinks me an enemy, guess who he or she sees? She sees Jesus. He sees Jesus. So this is the energy of prayers. This is where it is hitting the sidewalk, the road with us, okay? I mean, yes, we're praying, but we're applying this energy, this action to our lives. But in Leviticus 19:18, it's also quoted in Matthew 19:19, okay? It says, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against any of your people." Don't hold a grudge against somebody. Don't seek revenge against somebody yourself, okay? Love your neighbor as yourself, okay? Now, that neighbor could be someone who really likes you, but it also could be someone that considers you an enemy to them. But you love them as you love yourself. "I am God," is the way that verse ends. God says, that's who I am, and that's who you are, as my children. As the people of my nation, my kingdom. Okay? The second point. So it says, we know God changes, prayer changes me, allows me to use me, God allows God to use me, allows the enemy, if you will, to see God. So how does that work? What does God do in these verses? What does Jesus say? This is what God does, okay? This is what God does. He gives his best, sun to warm, rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless, good and bad, nice and nasty. Whoops. So, so what about this person who considers us and their enemy? If we're going to give someone something, we make some cookies, we're taking them to work, we give them to our friends, we also give them to this guy over here who considers us enemy. Okay? We don't make a judgment call. We don't make that discernment, if you will, towards them. Okay? We act like God. Okay? We are God's children. We should be like. We are called Christian. Uh-huh. We are to be like Christ. Amen. Okay? That's the whole point. So be careful when you go out and tell somebody you're a Christian, because you just introduce yourself as Christ. And you want to act, respond, be like Christ as much as you can. Now, yes, we're not perfect, and we're gonna have some failures, no doubt about it, okay? But in our prayer life, as we're energizing our prayer, we want to remember these things. And of course, we know when we have a slip and a fall, forgiveness is there. We have been forgiven, and forgiveness is there. Okay? All right. In Luke 6, 27 through 31, there's a whole bunch of items listed here. I'm not going to read the verses, but I'm going to read pieces of it. It says, love your enemy. Now, go on. Again, this is not talking about Satan. Love Satan. Okay? This is talking about the person who considers you their enemy. Love them. Let them, this is interesting, let them bring out the best in you. Ooh, have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about somebody who considers you their enemy to bring out the best in you? Is that the way we usually act? No, let's be honest. I'll be honest with you. That's not the way I use it. I'm not thinking about bringing out the best in me when somebody's there. I'm thinking about, where's that rock at? But let them bring out the best in you. Okay? For instance, someone slaps you in the face, take it. Grow up. Don't be a sissy. I mean, don't be a crybaby, if you will. Okay? Take it. Someone slaps you in the face. And that slap in the face could be a physical slap, but also this could be some kind of slander, some type of word they say against you, lying against you, or anything like that, okay? But take it, all right? If someone, that's just taking, okay? No, nothing out there. But let's go one step further. Remember, we're God's children. Someone grabs your shirt, gift wrap your coat, and give it to them as a present. I mean, it's one thing to take a slap, right? But it's one thing for somebody to take your shirt and you go in and show them who God is by gift wrap, taking your coat, putting it, gift wrapping it, and giving them as a present. In other words, respond to them in a way that they don't even expect. Totally foreign to them. They would never expect that. They would never do that for sure. They would never do that to you. They take your shirt and everything else they get. They would never think about giving you anything back, okay? But you're different. We're different, okay? We're Christian. Someone takes unfair advantage of you, use it to practice a servant life, okay? In other words, somebody, what can be unfair? I have some examples later on, but I mean, unfair advantage of you. They work you too much at work because you're a good worker. That's something that we probably all experienced somewhere along the line. Or you have somebody who is constantly borrowing from you, or you know, and they, for most, until they need something, they consider you their enemy and they don't have anything to do with you. But if they need something, they come and take advantage of you, okay? And they do it over and over again. Well, practice your servant life. In other words, do not be hostile to them. In other words, go and do for them what they want you to do and take it one step further. For instance, and at work is a very good example of that. Because sometimes I've been in positions at work where I felt like I was being taken advantage of. Okay? I was asked to do these things when I really didn't need to do them. It really wasn't mine. Although there's always that little job description and other things as declared or whatever. But I mean, you know, but you take it. And you do it without grumbling. You do it without complaining. You do it happily. You do it with a heart of compassion, empathy for the other person. Okay? In other words, we're showing what God is like. That's what Jesus did. If you look at Jesus' ministry, Jesus says, if you see me, you see the Father. And that was such a foreign idea for the nation of Israel, because what they had been accustomed to was what you look at in the Old Testament. Okay? And what the Pharisees and the scribes had been teaching, which was way over in another ballpark, not even home ballpark. Okay? The third point here is, your kingdom subjects live like it. Your kingdom subjects, okay? God's kingdom subjects, so live like it. And the way you live like that is you live generously towards others. You live graciously towards others. Okay? So it's not just a, you know, don't be surprised. I mean, it's not just a one-shot deal that you might get by with one person who considers you an enemy. What Jesus is saying, hey, don't just do it one time. Make it a habit. Continually do it. Apply it to your life. Now, Jesus never said it's easy. And we all know that at times it can be hard. But Jesus says, if you practice this, just like anything else you practice, you get better at it. And it becomes easier to do. But you're also challenged with more. Those who have little will receive little. Those who have more will receive more. If you let me paraphrase those verses, okay? Another thing, in Proverbs 24:17, we're instructed, don't life when your enemy falls. Don't crow over his collapse. In other words, don't turn around and be the enemy yourself. That's easy. It's easy for us to do sometimes. But if we have a living habit of being generous and gracious, then we won't life when somebody falls. We will become empathetic for them. And we'll want to go to them. And we'll want to share with them whatever sharing we have. Become generous with what we have and gracious with it. For instance, in Romans 12, 19 through 21, Paul says, our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy, again, this is a person who thinks you are an enemy to them, or considers you an enemy to them, hungry, if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Some practical to do things, okay? Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink, okay? That's the energies of prayer. That is where prayer is in action. I mean, one thing that Peter says, you know, don't have a dead faith but not doing anything. Put your faith to life by doing something, okay? Your generosity, continuing in Romans 12, your generosity will surprise him with goodness, or her with goodness. They'll be taken back. They won't know how to respond. And hopefully what happens is that they begin questioning who they are and where they're at. And you have a door open to maybe sharing something about Jesus with them in a non-hostile environment, maybe. Don't, continue in Romans 12, don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. Okay? Don't let evil get a hold of you. In other words, don't you respond in the same way that person may be responding to you. Instead, you take what they've responded to you and you turn it back and give it to making it good to them. Generosity. Graciousness. Okay? There's another verse that says, heap burning coals on his head. Now, I thought for so many times that was going to be something really good. I was getting back at somebody. That coals on her head is going to burn her head and they don't have no hair. But that's not what it is at all. I finally heard from a preacher tell me what that was. And what that was is, how important is fire to us? Or, yeah, very important. What does it take for us to get a fire started? Maybe a match at the most, or a cigarette lighter. I mean, or just turn something on, right? Not during the time that Jesus was alive. There was no cigarette lighters. There was no matches. If you had fire and somebody, and you cooked on fire, you cooked your meals, you heated your house, you kept your warmth, you had light, okay? So if you're heaping fire, what happens was it? A lot of women, moms, the mothers would have these baskets that was kind of fireproof, or jars, and they would put hot coals in those fires and hold them on their head to carry them. So they were actually taking something back home to them to help them live. So instead of heaping coals, burning coals on somebody's head, you're not destroying them, you are actually being generous with them. You are being generous and gracious with them. You are giving something that is life to them or with them. Okay? All right, so this is where the energies of prayer is action of prayer. Okay? Yes, we're praying. In all of this wording here, there's nothing that says you don't pray. You are praying. Paul admonishes us to prayer constantly. Okay? So you're praying this, but you're taking your prayers and living as God would live, if you will. Letting God live through you. You're demonstrating God. You're demonstrating you're a child of His kingdom. Okay? Now, I have three examples I want to give real quick about what I think is energies of prayer, or praying for someone who considers you an enemy. Okay? First thing I'll deal with was a man that was going to church with, and we had a carport and wanted it closed into a garage, okay? And I got to know him. He knew construction, and I trusted him, okay? So he was coming over and doing work. Well, when it was all said and done, he stole $5,000 of stuff from me with this. And he finally admitted it, not to me, but to a couple other friends, okay? And obviously, the first action that someone would think about was, I'm going to sue this guy and get this money back. Well, he had nothing anyway. So I began praying. Father, this was my prayer, and I prayed it more than once, prayed it a number of times. Father, if this man is my brother, then you're his father. You discipline him. If he is not my brother, he's a lost person, then you save him. So I left it in God's hands that way. Now, could I have done more? Yes, I probably could have done more as far as energizing. I could have gone and seen him and this type of thing, but I didn't. I at that point in time, best action for me was not to get involved in his life, but was to offer him up to God and allow God to do what he needed to do in the man's life. Okay? Because I trusted him. I thought he was, as far as I knew, he was a brother. He demonstrated, he showed, but the way he acted in that didn't turn out. Now, he had a what he considered a good reason. His mom was in desperate need of some things, and that's what he was getting money for because he had no other work. But anyway, the other thing was, I worked for a man. And in my life, in my work life, I describe someone I work for three different ways. They're either a boss, okay, they're a manager, or they're a leader. Okay, that's how I qualify them. A boss is a boss. A boss tells you what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and you don't say anything back to him. And a manager, manager is involved in your everyday work, if you will. And a leader is there with you doing what you're doing with them and showing you the way. Okay. So I worked with this man as boss, and he was not a good fellow to work for. He was still living in the 1950s. He had a lot of mentality of the 50s. He really did. And I remember one time I wanted to go in, we got on a phone call, and there were some things talked about, and I wanted to go talk to him about this. And I walked into his office and said, "Chester, you better leave before you shoot yourself in the foot." So I backed off. Okay. And my prayer to God with him was, "God, please take care of him. Show him what he needs to know." Okay? And because I didn't know what his relationship was. His actions didn't display any type of relationship with Christ. So I just offered him up to God for that. And instead of me trying to, and I didn't really want to work for him anymore. And finally he made a mistake and got himself fired because of the way he had handled some clients. Them very poorly. And my prayers didn't do that, I don't believe. My prayers was, "God, you work with him and let me a chance, the opportunity, if I can, to help, to show him something, show him who he is." The third one was in, we own a vacation rental property, okay, in Orlando. And we were there and we went into their sale. They get you up into the sales room to sell you more stuff, okay. And I was asking who my representative was because I had a representative already with what I owned. And a floor manager came by, and she started just saying, "You're the worst person I've ever seen. You're the most disrespectful person I have ever met. You're just terrible. And if you don't shut up and be quiet, I'm gonna call security, have you kicked off and taken off the resort." And I sat there, I didn't say anything. I couldn't say anything, okay? But again, I offered her up to God, and I asked God to take care of, if she is a sister and she didn't act like one, I didn't know her, but if she's a sister, then you, as father, do what you need to do. And if she's not, will you please show her who Jesus is? And I didn't really get to see her anymore or anything like that. But those are just three examples where I thought, where I was, felt like I maybe was an enemy in somebody's eye, but yet wasn't really, and wanted them to understand and to see God more and better than me. And I offered it up in prayer. Yes, I will admit that my energies of prayer was kind of weak. Okay, I will admit, yes, my energies of prayer was kind of weak in that I didn't do a lot of action with them, but it didn't seem like I could do. And it might just been my own mentality blocked there, I don't know. But it was a place where I wanted God to take care of the needs. Okay, I have one more thing. I want you to take one of these. These are little bit of chains. Now, what we don't recognize sometimes is that there's two. I'll get over there. Okay. What we don't recognize sometimes is that those the people, the ones who may consider us an enemy, we may allow that to hold a chain on us, to bind us, if you will, from doing what we know we want to do. So what I'd like for you to do is up it, what I'll ask you to do is up to you whether you want to or not, okay, is that you take this little chain, and if there's someone that you know of that you believe that they consider you an enemy through whatever actions towards you or something they've said to you, write their names on this. Okay. Write their name on this chain. Jeff took care of me on that one. Thank you, Jeff. Write their name on this chain. Pray for them. Pray for them as a friend. Pray for, and have a way the Spirit leads you to pray for them, okay? And then do one more thing, if possible. Exert some energy of your prayer into their life. It might be nothing more than maybe going up and saying something polite to them, hi to them, or taking them a cookie if they're at work, or if they're a neighbor, giving them an invite over for a meal, or send them a card, or text them. But do something to show, to let them see that even though they may consider you an enemy, you consider them someone as a friend that needs to see God. Okay. And once you do that, once you're satisfied, if you write that, then I want you to take that chain and break it. Because what you have done is you have broken that chain on you that they may have. Okay? That's it. That's it.